I titled this as Law and Order in God's Style. Law and Order in God's Style. So just bear with me and listen to this. In the just system of God, the people who are created by God are represented and judged by the one true God who perfectly judges everyone without an exception. He makes the law and judges according to his law with his infinite wisdom and gives out the punishment exactly according to what the people have done and according to their motives. And these are his commandment. It's kind of the same sentence, same concept. Yes, I got this idea from the narration of the beginning of each episode, long-running court drama, the court, Law and Order. Yeah, Chung Chung. That's right. In chapter 19, we find the Ten Commandments applied to the various areas of life. And in chapter 20, the penalties we mentioned. I was talking to Ben and Sabrina Pena, and it was one of those areas you would have a hard time cutting where to stop. 37 verses in chapter 19, 27 verses in the chapter 20, that's 64 verses. There's a lot to cover. Yet, if you stop at the chapter 19 and deal with that chapter 20 and following week, you would lose the impact of that. So I had to put the both of them, and then chapter 20 is dealing with the penalty that stated must be imposed to those who disobey the commandment. God expects his people to take his law very seriously and apply penalty obediently without a favoritism. The regulation given in chapter 19 and verse 20, chapter 20, are not arranged in particular order. You will find in sequence is kind of messed up. Not exactly the same in the chapter 19 and chapter 20. However, there's one common denominator, that is the Ten Commandments. But then again, it's not in order of the Ten Commandments. It's just as if Moses writing down, oh yeah, I forgot. He just included this one and that one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine chapter 10 and chapter 19 and chapter 20 to make more sense, and so we can understand better. So we're going to skip several areas. So in your sermon outline note, there's a bunch of verses mentioned. So I want you to go look at those verses. When you go home, and probably you're thinking, you think I'm going to study the Leviticus when I go home? You know what? It might do a lot of good for you, actually. Have you ever studied, when you were in school, you do the preview and the review? Any of you have done that kind of thing before? You sick people. You really did that, huh? Yeah, when it's a test time, that's a crash course. Anyway, so when you go home, kind of go over with the sermon outline notes after you fill out, and go over a few verses and look at them, and it probably will make a whole lot more sense, because we will not go over each verses here. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you are ever so faithful to us in your infinite wisdom. You allow many things, good things, as well as those things that we don't like to face. Yet you are with us and you use them all to minister to us and shape and mold us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Do that again tonight, please. As you speak to our congregation, all of us, through me, let us learn from your commandment, which are so practical that we can still apply them into our 21st century lives. We thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 19. So there's the verses that we're going to go over. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Note the word holy, please. And we're going to skip to verse 23 and verse 26 and go down to the chapter 20. This time, chapter 20, verse 24. We're going to go back and forth as I said before. Verse 24. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess. A land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the people. You shall therefore distinguish between the clean animal and the unclean, between unclean bird and clean, and you shall not make yourself abominable by beast or by bird or by any kinds of living things that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Verse 26, and you shall be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy, and have separated you from the people, that you should be mine. You should be mine. The law of God cannot produce holiness which it demands. It reveals the righteousness of the law, but the holiness could not be attained by human effort. That's why you can have a religion, but you cannot have a holiness of God. You cannot achieve the holiness that God demands. Religion does not produce. The relationship with Jesus Christ does. The idea behind the holy, of course, we read that, I asked you to kind of note that word, separate. God is different than a man, of course, and from any other thing, and in greatness and majesty of his attribute. He has righteousness, justice, purity, and grace, and love, and mercy, like a none other. Being holy means that being like God, separating ourselves unto Him and His truth, naturally separating ourselves from those things that are not like Him and not according to His truth. In other words, we are not supposed to be just mingled with the world, but yet we are supposed to separate ourselves. Remember I said before, that I made this illustration, boat outside the water is not a boat, it's just a gigantic container. To have fulfill the purpose of the boat, it has to be in the water, right? But when the water comes into the boat, then you are in trouble, right? Same thing. If we just leave ourselves in the little community area, without any unbelievers, how are we going to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to other people? We cannot. We have to be in the world, but we cannot allow the world to come into us. As soon as the world comes into our individual lives, we sink. So we cannot be isolated, but we have to be insulated. You with me? We cannot be isolated for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we have to be insulated for survival as well as for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go down to verse 3 this time. Now we find a different topic here. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Did you notice there is one sentence going over and over and over? What would that be? I am the Lord your God. You okay, Suzanne? Okay. And then move down to the verse 32. Verse 9 of chapter 20. Verse 9 of chapter 20. For everyone who curses his father and mother or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood shall be upon him. Remember, there was an instance during the Exodus time, while they are in the wilderness, there is one kid who cursed his mom and dad. What did they do? They took him out and stoned him, literally killed him. Somebody might think that it is strange that God would begin the commandment to honor mother and father and mother, but it is not so strange. The reason is because the parents stand in the place of God for the child, and that child learned to obey God by first obeying the parents. If the kids cannot obey the parents, most likely that child will not obey God. Let's move down to verse 4 this time. Now we're talking about idolatry. Do not turn to idols, nor make it for yourself the molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And this time, go to chapter 20, verse 1. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the stranger who dwelt in Israel who gives any of his descendants to the Molech, he shall surely be put to death, and then the people of the land shall stone him with a stone. Note the word and underline this phrase, first phrase of verse 3, please. I will set my face against that man. Let me say one more time. I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they should kill, they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man, against his family, and I will cut him off from his people, and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. See, many people talk about the turning to God, but they have no intention to turn away from God, then turn away from the sins. Our lives should be the turning from the self-governed life to the completely relying on God life. A lot of people like to talk about turning to God. Well, I'm going to go to the church. What does it do any good if that person is not turning away from doing drugs or doing, you know, having fornication or adultery or whatever, all the sins that he's been committing? It doesn't do any good. It's nothing. I said to the friend of mine, he's a pastor up in Black Canyon City, and he laughed out so loud. It was more entertaining to listen to his laughing. Because I said, a lot of people come to church to appease, I said, use the word, appease their religious duty. To satisfy their religious conviction, they come to church, okay, I finished my religious duty, I fulfilled my religious duty, so I can go and sin as I wanted. It's almost like they have this spiritual indulgence stamped, okay, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No, it doesn't work that way. To truly turn to God, you have to turn away from sin. Unless we do that, that is nothing. Am I making sense to you guys? And when people make God into our imagination, we are reducing our God within our thinking capacity. It all comes from the losing the thought of who our God is. The person who constantly walks in the conscience of the presence of God in his life does not need some image to remind him about God. Isn't that true? If you walk with God, if you spend your time in the Word of God, why do you need an idol? Why do you need something to remind yourself? You don't need it because His presence in your heart, He is guiding you each step of the way. You don't need some silly object to remind you. Does it mean we cannot have any object? That's not what I said. No. Nothing wrong with having a pretty picture of the Christian things. Nothing wrong with that, but when it becomes idle, we have a problem there. One problem people can have is that they cannot grasp the idea of our invisible God. Since our God is not, cannot be seen, and any image created by man obscures the glory of God. None of his attributes is unlimited. None of his attributes is unlimited. Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote it wrong. Any of the, thanks for reading on that thing. Any of the, his all of his attributes is unlimited. Let me rephrase that. All of his attributes is unlimited. So all of his attributes is unlimited. That means that he can do anything, anywhere, knowing all things, right? So how are we, come back with me, okay? How are we going to express his unlimitation in sculpture or painting? So you have a big size canvas to draw unlimited God, but you just limit just God in the, by the width of the canvas or height of the canvas. Universe is not big enough to contain God, because God holds the universe in his palm of his hand. Yet he's small enough to go into your heart. He is small enough to go into little child who accepted Jesus Christ just now. He's that phenomenal. He has infinite wisdom. His love is boundless. His mercy knows no limit. How are you going to put God into the expression? And it is no wonder when we try to describe God in our prayer, and when we try to praise God in our prayer, we sometimes lose word. So, and then you say, Lord, and then dot, dot, dot. Because you cannot say it, you cannot describe his love. Actually, in my opinion, sometimes no word speak louder than a bunch of thousands of words. Another problem is misleading people with a limited image. As I said before, these pictures, you guys know that I drew some of the pictures of portrait of Jesus Christ. The best, most you can do is put the five to six characteristics of Jesus Christ. Maybe his love. Portion of his love, maybe his kindness, maybe his mercy, maybe his gentleness. You can put a few of them in there, but yet you cannot put everything in there. It is one thing to draw and sculpt the image of Jesus Christ to portray what he has done for us, but it is a completely different thing once we start to worship that image of God. It becomes idol. You know, some, like I'm a bit around the bush, a Catholic, they let you do certain ritual. You rob this particular statue, or you do something with that statue, and God will listen to you, because that particular saint will speak to God because of your prayer to that saint. I pray to God. You pray to God. Not some silly little stature. See, God ridiculed the idols because they are nothing. They can do nothing. You with me? They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have a mouth, they cannot speak. They have hands, they cannot touch. They have legs, yet they cannot come to you. In the middle of the night, you're facing this difficulty, and in your bed, you just cry out to God, oh God, guess what? He's there. When your heart is just churning upside down, inside out, you feel like you're in the middle of the gigantic ocean, your little leaves floating on top of each waves, or sometimes under the waves, and you feel like you're all alone, you cry out to him. And he put his big arms around you and hold you tight. you feel your presence. I ask you to underline, I will set my face against that man. In my opinion, this is one of the strongest rebukes, strongest language possible. Ezekiel 23:37-39, we find the children of Israel did just that. They turned away from God, so God allowed them to be invaded by the Babylon people, and they lost entire land. Remember the idolatry. Remember, idolatry is the highest treason in the nation that was theocracy. What is a theocracy? The God is king. Theo. Remember, Theo is God, right? Christ, kingdom, or the country's the government system. What is the democracy? Yeah, people, but it's a two word combined. Like a theocracy is God governed. Demographic, right? How many people in that area? We get the DEMO and then put it. Exchange with the Thea, run by the people. No extra charge for that one. Okay, verse 5. Now we find God's instruction for worship. Am I going too fast? Are you with me so far? Nobody sleeping? Better not snow, young man. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. Note the word free will. Has to be. All the sacrifice has to come from our heart. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it and on the next day, and if there remain any remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. Verse 7. If it is eaten at all on the third day, it is abomination, it shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. God gave them specific instructions. Go down to verse 26, please. Verse 26. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the side of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edge of your beard. You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, no tattoo, any mark on you. I am the Lord. Okay, I have to explain a little bit to understand this. In verse 26, you don't eat the blood. That is a pagan ritual. Remember, we studied that portion. And the divination, and so saying that, of course, that's occultic things, and you shall not have shaved around the side of the beard. Some of the Orthodox Jews, you see them, the curly sideburns. That's the part of the reason why they don't shave on the side of the hair. And cutting for the dead. That's, again, remember Mount Carmel. When this 850 Baal, the priest, when they start to pray to the Baal, and one of the things they did, what did they do? Cutting themselves. That's a part of their pagan ritual. I don't know if you hear a lot of, nowadays, especially in lot, among the teenagers, among the young people, one of the fashion is cutting themselves. When they're depressed, they don't know what to do. I have no idea why would they cut themselves. I don't like any pain. I don't have a problem dying, but I just don't care for to have a pain. If I want to die, I'm going to die like that. That's my preference. Anyway, this young people like to literally cut themselves with a razor blade or whatever. I thought, that's sick. Yeah. And But then again, the behind the reason is one of the pagan practice. Do you know that? So when you see the young people who's doing that kind of thing, you talk to them and introduce them about the peace of Jesus Christ, hope in Christ. And they don't have to do that kind of thing. Tattoo is now in thing, as I told you before, that they don't realize that the shining, good-looking eagle is going to turn into a big bird someday, and they don't think about that kind of thing. What can you do? I literally flipped when I saw my daughter had that tattoo on her back and whatever, wherever. It's like, to them, it's an in thing. Yeah. Let me put it this way. If you want to be dumb enough to mark all over your body, go for it. And because, in my opinion, it's silly. I saw people spending hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, to have the tattoo done. Does it mean the person, the believers in Christ who have a tattoo all over their body is not going to go to heaven? I didn't say that. Probably, most likely they will be in heaven. I don't think they will have a tattooed body in heaven. But they're going to worship with me, worship the Lord with me in heaven. The money God gives to me is God's money. I don't want to waste on a tattoo. That's my personal opinion. Some people say, why do you buy a gun? Well, I'm guilty. Because I like it. And some people like to have a tattoo done. That's a personal choice. I'm not going to die on that hill. Because that's not the hill I want to die. And for this, again, in this case, this is kind of gone with the grace period and the law period and grace period. That's not a big thing. I'm going to make a big deal thing. I'm going to make a, let me say again, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. Okay? I would say, same thing with, what do you think about me smoking? Let me ask you, is it good for you? And how would you, if you want to be raked with a bunch of needle, I'll be more than happy to do it for you. And I'll just put some colors, if whatever the color I feel like, I'll just put. I'm an artist, I can do that for you for free. I told some friend of mine, and he said he's going to do the tattoos. I said, I'll do it for you with a magic marker. Cheap. Whole lot cheaper. Anyway. Move on. While Christians shouldn't look like they are part of this world, they certainly are not to imitate the world. Romans 12:2. Let's go there. Romans 12:2. You guys know this because we memorized this. And how many times I quote it? Umpteenth time, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove that what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The point is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Back to the chapter 19, verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. Verse 10, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the strangers. I am the Lord your God. And we're going to skip to verse 14 and 19 and 33 and 34. I really like this God's welfare system. In my opinion, this is for the poor and the strangers. He never let anyone to sit down and do nothing and get paid. See, the poor are taken care of. Poor are taken care of by being given the opportunity to work. And this was a marvelous balance between heartless capitalism and godless socialism. Hint, hint, hint. By the way, I just got an email from one person. Said he wouldn't come back to our church because I talk about politics from the pulpit. And he's a Democrat. He doesn't like the way I talk about the president. And because I judged him, he's not saved, so I pray for his salvation. And I sent an email back to him that we cannot judge the salvation, but certainly we can tell by his action. And he didn't quote properly, and judge now, you will not be judged. You know, I told you before, that's one of their favorite words. So I quote him quote properly, and whatever the way I judge, I will be judged. And how can you believe that this president is saved when he condoned and supported killing babies and supporting marriage of homosexuality and condoned their lifestyle? And everything he does is against the word of God. How can you believe that this man is saved? And this person mentioned that he went to the Christian church all his life. And I answered back to him that you can come to church all your life, still not being saved. Does it mean church mouse? Is that mouse saved? Because he's been living in the church for all that time? No. And he also mentioned 50 years ago, some people might consider you as a communist chink. Since I made a remark about Barack Obama, probably I did wrong. I agree that I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't have said that. But I don't make an apology for that Barack Obama is not a Christian. He cannot be Christian. I don't make one bit of an apology for that one. Okay, let's move on. Whatever the farmer did not reap, and usually they lived, let's say this is his field, he does not glean corner. He kind of go around. So there is about 10 to 20% of the field is not harvest. In other words, anyone who is hungry, the poor people, or the strangers. For example, remember, Jesus and his disciples were walking through the wheat field and they were eating something. They rubbed the wheat, head of the grain of the wheat, and rubbed their hands and they blew the chaff and ate that thing. It's like a gummy thing. And they did it on Sabbath, right? It's a kind of fun thing. Funny thing is, these Pharisees, they traveled from somewhere on Sabbath. And following these disciples wherever they go to see if they are doing anything wrong on Sabbath day. Interesting. Okay. By the way, our current welfare system is loaded with bureaucracy. It encourages poor to stay in poverty. Don't you agree? Because you don't have to do anything, we'll just pay you. Instead of encouraging them to go out and get a job, as far as I know, people get to have a self-respect and dignity while they're working, not sitting around doing nothing. I think we did the worst justice to American Indians by giving them money. What do? They go out, drink, blow their money away. And then they have nothing to do and they just sit around because they get paid for nothing. Though I like the way God helps his poor, the poor people and strangers handicapped, and it's a great way to love one another. Verse 11. And you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, or shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your God, your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. There is a verse 35 and 36, and I want you to look at it later. This reinstates the 8th and 9th commandment, and stealing and defrauding and lying and perjury are all included here. Before we go anywhere, I'm going to ask you to not to do one thing for me. A couple things. As of now, I said this before, don't say, oh my God. Okay, in your vocabulary, take it out. Or even, oh my gosh. Because it's the same thing as swearing. You may not say it's swearing. It's the same kinds of word. Why do you use God's name in the place? It's not something to do with glorifying God. Does it mean when you pray, saying, oh my God, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. In context, it's okay. But, you know, have you ever seen the Extreme Home Makeover? When they walk into the house, the one of the first thing that just about everybody say, yeah, yeah, same thing over and over and over. I ask you not to do that, okay? If any of you using God's name in vain, using His name as a foul language, stop it now. As of now, you don't do that anymore. How can you use your God's name in vain when you worship Him? I beg of you, okay, not to do that. Verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. There's a verse 35a, you can read that again. Here's a word for the judge sitting on the bench and how our judges need to hear this word today. The judges on the bench is to understand that he is the judge as God judges. I like what the Socrates said. Four things belong to a judge: to hear cautiously, courteously, and to answer wisely, to consider soberly, and to decide impartially. Even though he's a Greek philosopher, I kind of like what he said. Can I change the slide? Verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. We'll stop there, and then you can read the 17 and 18 later. A talebearer is essentially a gossiper, and someone who cannot mind their own business, and who delight in the discussing lives of others, spreading story. What they usually say, let's pray intelligently. So let me tell you. Yeah, exactly. Hear me, please. They don't mind doing this as long as it is about someone else's business. But if it's about them, we have World War III here. The Lord tells us not to be one. I'm going to give you a filter system. Okay? I want you to write it down. You might have heard this from me before. I want you to write T-H, underneath of T-H, underneath of H, I, underneath of I, N, underneath of N, K. So what is that? Think, right? T-H-I-N-K. You all right? Okay. T stand for, this is the filter system. Whenever you hear some story, I want you to put it through this filter system. T stand for, is it true? Okay? Is it true? H stand for, is it helpful? I stand for, is it inspiring? Did you get it so far? T stand for, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? And the N stand for, is it necessary? And K stand for, is it kind? So is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So when you hear this good, juicy story, before you repeat that good, juicy story to someone else, put it through that filter system. What does it come out? If it comes out to be nothing, don't say anything. If you say something, you're just participating in tale-bearer, gossiping. And God does not like gossip. If you really have a problem, talk to God. I don't think He will say, oh, my child, go for it. Pray intelligently, right? And another thing that you can do is, if somebody tells you that juicy story that nobody's supposed to know, then ask them, can I repeat back to that person? Just to verify it? And they use that. Can I use your name specially? They will do this. Verse 20 through 22, and chapter 20, verse 10 through 21 is talking about adulteries and the many different forms of sexes. From what I read here, I don't think that it was any different then than now, and when it came to the wicked side of sex, human sexuality. Who creates sex? God. Is it wrong to have a sex between husband and wife? Absolutely not. But when it's outside the realm of a husband and wife, then it becomes a problem. And we find it here, God is dealing with adultery, fornication, incest, homosexuality, and even bestiality. Folks, adultery is every form and shape, adultery in every form and shape was punished by death. Sins of sex have caused the most powerful empire to topple. I would say the sex and the liquor were the two causes of the fall of Babylon, Egypt, Greece, Rome, and France. Never mind about France. France give up on everything anyway. What a warning this is for our nations. As I said before, you cannot watch TV without getting some sort of innuendo and some sensual remark. Some of you received an email from me about the Pepsi commercial. And I didn't know what the Family Guys were like. I watched it. It's worst gross cartoon you will ever find. Because you are not on my email list. What the Pepsi is doing is they're supporting homosexuality. So one of my favorite drink is Mountain Dew, right? I'm not drinking that. I'm not buying that anymore. Verse 29. Do not prostitute your daughter and to cause her to be hallowed, lest your land fall into the harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. Go down to the chapter 20, verse 22. Chapter 20, verse 22. Are you there yet? You shall therefore keep all the statute. By the way, where is Jack? Jack Sutton? Oh, okay. He shall therefore keep all the, my statutes and all my judgment and perform them in the land where I am bringing to you to dwell, may not vomit you out. What am I talking about? Let me explain to you. To prostitute your daughter in this context probably means to give her as a ritual the prostitute in a pagan temple. Remember, probably you were not there. When we studied the 1 Corinthians, one of the things that you find in Corinth, I'm sure you heard about this, temple prostitute, they come down from this temple, Greek temple, and down to the city, and they try to seduce the men, and they follow them, go up to the temple, and the idea of having a sex is their way to worshiping their god. Their god is Diana, goddess of fertility. And their way they're having worshiping God. It's nothing more than pagan ritual. And when the Jewish men sell their daughter to pagan temple as a prostitute, and the God is telling them, do not do that kind of thing. Canaanites who presently lived in the promised land were deeply involved in this kind of thing, and because of that, God was using the Israel to kick them out of the land. And he was telling them, do not be like the Canaanite. If you do that, I'm going to kick you out from this land too. Guess what? He did, because they followed that exact suit. Hindsight, folks, hindsight is good, because we can learn from our own mistakes, right? The good hindsight, the better hindsight, is learning from other people's mistake. Israeli people did not learn from other people's mistake. We need to learn not to give ourselves to sin by obeying the word of God. We cannot just say, I'm not going to sin anymore. Because there's an empty area. When we choose not to sin, there's an empty area. It must be filled with the word of God. It must be filled with the spirit of God. Otherwise, it will collapse. Our willpower is not enough. As a matter of fact, our willpower is pathetic, isn't it? I'm not going to eat donuts anymore. Right. Move down to the verse 7 of chapter 20, please. Now the keeping the God's statutes. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep your statutes and perform them. I am the Lord God who sanctifies you. 16 times in this chapter, 16 times in this chapter, God declared that he is the Lord, the one with the right to tell us what to do. Remember, last week I talked about, as long as you live in this God's universe, you have to do what he tells us to do, because he owns the right in the universe. If you don't like what he says, you don't want to follow his command, you can always start your own universe. From scratch, preferably. This is something that God expects ancient Israel to respect, and expect his modern day follower, that's us, to also respect. Let's move down to the verse 31. I'm about to finish, so relax. And let's go, jump to the verse 27 in chapter 20. You have all these references, so I want you to go home and read them, okay? You do read them, right? Okay, good. A man and a woman who is a medium and all who has a familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. Remember, when the king Saul, at the end of his wit, and he didn't know what to do, what did he do? He went to visit this medium. And when she found out it was a king, she was flabbergasted. Here's the reason. They shall stone them with a stone, their blood shall be upon them. This is one of the many warnings about the spiritism and demonism. The supernatural and satanic character of this practice is recognized by the scripture and is rejected, folks. there were many ways of the pagans sought to contact the dead or the other spirits. This was the doorway to the occult and strictly forbidden by the Lord. Same goes for the horoscope, Ouija board, Dungeon and Dragon game, tarot card, and etc. Do not open yourself up for the massive trouble. Yeah, psychic hotline. 1-900 psychic hotline. You will ruin yourself. Yoga is a good opening too. And another thing that you, I forgot that name. No. There's a word I forgot. There's things that you have to put the furniture in a certain area.
Oh, feng shui.
Yeah, feng shui. Feng shui. It's a Chinese concept. Let me put it this way. Your ancestors are supposed to have a nice grave site facing this mountain, and on the right side of whatever, on the left side of whatever, and in the back you got to have some sort of curtain, like mountain curtain in the back. That's the best site. Then, and when the ancestor spirit is happy, he will bless you. How do I know? Because remember, I was born in that country. My daddy is supposed to have a good side. Whoop-de-doo. Dead person is dead person. And my ancestor cannot do a thing for me. Don't believe in that kind of garbage. Don't believe in this horoscope. Please, guys, don't even get in. As I told you before, I don't even open the fortune cookie in Chinese restaurant. I don't want anybody to think that I'm reading that thing and accepting that thing. Especially after I preach this kind of thing. And I'm just eating cookie. You want to eat cookie? Go buy cookie from the grocery store. Just don't read that stupidity. And people say, well, I'm not believing that thing. Oh, yeah, I'm just laughing at it. Well, what's the difference? You're reading it. And you might say, don't you think you're going a little nitty-gritty and picking things? You ask God, can I do this? Would you be pleased? Remember, as a Christian, we should live above what? Reproach. Same reason why I would not pick up the near beer bottle. I wouldn't even drink near beer. Because I don't want somebody to think they're from the distance holding beer bottle. Because near beer bottle look exactly like a beer bottle. Yeah. So when I drink, I don't want even the people to think that I'm holding the Coke and rum or whatever. So I prefer to hold a Coke bottle or Coke can. I go out of my way to make the I want people to see me as above reproach. And you may say, well, you're because you're a pastor. No, because you're a Christian. Don't think that God's law is too nitty-gritty detailed thing. He's have that thing available for us so we can live good godly life. 2 centuries ago, American patriot Thomas Jefferson wrote this note on the state of Virginia. I'll read it to you. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. If he sees what's going on now, he will throw his wig to somebody. Let's make an application. Number one, being holy means being like God, separating ourselves unto him and his truth, and naturally separating ourselves from those things that are not like him and not according to his truth. Second application, the person who is constantly walking in the conscience of the presence of God in his life does not need some image to remind him about God. Isn't that true? Third application. While the Christians should not look like they are a part of the world, they certainly are not to imitate the world. Am I making sense to you? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Sometimes it's so nitty-gritty. Sometimes it's so difficult to do everything according to your way. But blessed are those who do what you says, because they will be blessed by your truth and your guidance. And most of all, we are blessed that we bring glory to you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.